Welcome everyone to Next Day Prep. What we are watching tomorrow. What a session. Stocks actually shook off that Moody's downgrade of the U.S. credit rating. How did that play out?
It was a classic headline shock, followed by a wait-a-minute moment. Initially, longer-dated Treasury yield spiked. The 10-year hit 4.56%. The 30-year kissed 5.04%. The dollar index dropped, and equity futures sold off.
Ouch. So the Dow, NASDAQ, S&P, Russell, they were all down pretty decently at one point, right?
They were. The NASDAQ was down as much as 1.4%, S&P 1.1%. But then the selling in treasuries just stopped. Yields reversed, with the 10-year settling back around 4.47% and the 30-year at 4.94%.
And stocks followed that reversal? The old buy-the-dip mentality still alive and kicking?
Absolutely. Plus, there's this lingering optimism about Congress possibly passing that large reconciliation bill. The market seemed to realize the Moody's downgrade wasn't a total surprise, given S&P and Fitch had already done it years ago. That likely fueled some short covering that spilled over into stocks. The S&P 500 even logged its sixth straight win.
Incredible resilience. So it was more of a macro and mechanical day. Not a lot of huge corporate news driving things?
Pretty much. We saw JP Morgan Chase slightly bump its FY25 net interest income guidance. United Health's CEO and CFO made a significant $30 million stock purchase. That's a confidence signal. And JPM actually downgraded Netflix to neutral.
Interesting on UNH and Netflix. How did the sectors shake out?
Healthcare led the charge, up a full percent. Consumer staples also saw some love, gaining a modest 0.4%. On the flip side, energy was the big loser, down 1.6%, the only sector down more than 0.3%. Market breadth, though, it improved but still leaned towards decliners at the close.
Got it. And the economic data was pretty light, just the leading economic index?
That's right. A 1.0% decline for April, a bit worse than expected, and March was revised lower too. Not exactly a barn burner.
Okay, let's zoom in on that spotlight comment, Sanmina's big move with ZT Systems. What's the story there? SANM shares took a hit.
Yeah, Sanmina is down about 3.8% after announcing a $3 billion acquisition of ZT Systems' data center infrastructure manufacturing business from AMD. Investors seem worried about integration risks, the new debt, and some equity issuance.
And ZT Systems, AMD just bought them, right? For more?
Exactly. AMD acquired ZT Systems for $4.9 billion less than 2 months ago. ZT specializes in hyperscale server solutions for giants like Amazon Web Services and Microsoft Azure. Now AMD is divesting the manufacturing part.
So Sanmina is paying $2.25 billion in cash, a $300 million premium, and up to $450 million based on performance. That price to sales, around 0.5 to 0.6 times ZT's $5 minus $6 billion revenue run rate, seems reasonable for manufacturing.
It does, but that contingent payment adds a layer of risk. For AMD, this is strategic. They shed capital-intensive manufacturing, but keep ZT's design and customer teams to boost their AI solutions, focusing on high-margin chips like their Instinct AI accelerators and EPYC processors. They recoup a good chunk of their initial investment, too.
So AMD sharpens its AI focus. What's in it for Sanmina besides the obvious revenue boost?
It's a major pivot for Sanmina to capitalize on the AI infrastructure boom. They get ZT's hyperscaler relationships and expertise, especially in advanced liquid cooling, which is critical for dense AI compute. They expect it to be accretive to non-GAAP EPS in the first year.
But the market's clearly nervous. Margin pressures and contract manufacturing and integration costs are the big hurdles?
Precisely. Success hinges on leveraging ZT's scale without eroding margins, especially if hyperscale demand fluctuates or competition heats up. It's a transformative bet for Sanmina. High risk, potentially high reward.
A lot to watch there. Let's shift to some other earnings and guidance. Bath & Body Works appointed a new CEO and sees Q1 EPS above consensus.
Yep, Daniel Heaf. Effective immediately, BioNTech reaffirmed its FY25 revenue guidance. JP Morgan, at their investor day, sees 2025 net interest income around $94.5 billion and an ROTCE target of 17%. Diageo also gave a trading update and FY25-26 guidance, discussing tariff impacts.
Okay, let's hit some of the other general news headlines that caught my eye. We had Fed's Bostic leaning towards one rate cut this year.
He did, and he also mentioned Treasury markets are functioning quite well. Treasury Secretary Bessent called the Moody's downgrade a, quote, lagging indicator. And there's movement on that big reconciliation bill in the House, with a vote expected late this week.
And some geopolitical chess moves, too, with President Trump speaking with both Putin and Zelensky, and then saying negotiations would start immediately.
Indeed, that's a significant development, if it leads to a ceasefire. On the company front, Stifel warned of 2H25, big tech risk, seeing opportunity in defensive value. And China's not happy about chip controls.
Always something with China and chips. What about specific company news? I saw Alnylam Pharma had positive data for AMVUTTRA.
Yeah, significantly reducing mortality in ATTR amyloidosis with cardiomyopathy. Dell unveiled new AI-powered servers with NVIDIA's Blackwell Ultra chips. And speaking of NVIDIA, they're collaborating with Astera Labs on connectivity solutions for the NVLink Fusion ecosystem. Foxconn is also building an AI factory in partnership with Taiwan and NVIDIA.
NVIDIA is everywhere. What else stood out?
Eli Lilly's Ozempic copies are apparently surviving, which is a headline. Grand Canyon Education had that $37.7 million fine revoked by the Department of Education. Novavax got FDA approval for Nuvaxovid, triggering a $175 million milestone payment from Sanofi. And Regeneron was the successful bidder for 23andMe's assets.
Wow, 23andMe. And TSM, Taiwan Semiconductor, is reportedly planning to increase prices? That could have ripple effects.
Absolutely. And RTX was awarded a $1 billion Missile Defense Agency contract. On the other side, Wynn Resorts ended plans for that NYC casino license.
Lots of moving parts. Let's touch on some key upgrades and downgrades. Charter got a couple of bumps.
That's right. Upgraded to Buy at Loop and Market Perform at Raymond James. Delta and United Airlines both got upgraded to Buy at UBS. Archer Daniels Midland also to Buy at UBS.
And on the downgrade side, we mentioned Netflix earlier.
Yes, Netflix to neutral by JP Morgan. United Health was also downgraded to hold by TD Cowen, interestingly, despite that insider buying. GE Aerospace was cut to neutral at North Coast.
Okay, let's transition to the WaveRider AI analysis. What's the overall market sentiment looking like for SPY and QQQ?
Cautious optimism is the theme. For SPY, we've seen mixed performance over the last 30 days, but the recent 13 bars show increased volume with upward price movement, a potential momentum buildup. Key resistance is around 596, with support near 590.
And Q, Q, Q.
QQQ is showing slightly stronger bullish sentiment recently, also driven by increased buying volume. Moving averages are sloping up. Resistance is pegged around 524, with support near 518. A breakout above 524 could be on if momentum continues.
What about VXX? Is fear subsiding?
VXX has seen a slight decline, which is generally positive for equities, indicating reduced market fear. But, as always, any sharp reversal in VXX needs to be watched closely, as it can foreshadow uncertainty.
And sector-wise, still seeing that rotation into defensives?
Yes, XLP, consumer staples, and XLU, utilities, are showing relative strength. Cyclicals, like XLE, energy, and XLI, industrials, have been more mixed, suggesting some apprehension about economic growth.
So for swing traders, the SA Monday report was cautiously bullish, noting the T2108 and primary indicator as bullish, but the 20% weekly was bearish, signaling overbought conditions.
Exactly. The advice there is to focus on momentum plays in resilient sectors like healthcare and tech, but manage risk due to those overbought signals. Watch for pullbacks near resistance and use volume for confirmation. Don't chase extended moves.
And the watch list from that report had NET for continuation and NVDA for anticipation. Let's dig into some more specific setups. What are the continuation breakouts looking like?
The continuation breakout report highlights tech and consumer discretionary. NVDA and AVGO are flagged due to bullish volumes in semis. TSLA also has high trading volume and an upward trend.
Give us some levels for TSLA.
For Tesla, support is seen around 341.00, 339.50, and 337.80. Resistance at 342.75, 345.00, and 348.20. The prediction is for a continued upward trend towards 345.00, and if it breaks that, 348.00 is in sight. Entry between 341.30 to 341.80 with a stop below 339.20.
And NVDA, a perennial favorite.
For NVDA, support at 134.50, 135.00, 135.30. Resistance at 135.95, 136.50, 137.00. It's looking to move up towards 137.00. Entry between 135.10 to 135.30, stop below 134.80.
What about AVGO, Microsoft, and MicroStrategy from that continuation list?
AVGO. Support around 229.00 to 230.50. Resistance 231.00, 234.00, targeting 233.00. Entry near 230.60, stop below 229.50. For Microsoft, support 456.80 to 458.00. Resistance 459.10 to 463.00. Looking for a gradual increase to 461.00. Entry near 458.60, stop below 456.50. And MSTR, support 409.00 to 411.00, resistance 414.00, 417.00, could push to 415.00 plus if it holds above 412.00. Entry 410.50 to 411.50, stop below 409.00.
Solid. Now for the ants breakout, or anticipation setups. NVDA pops up again.
It does. Strong volume, consistent upward closes. For NVDA in this context, support at $135, $132, $128. Resistance $138, $140, $145. Looking to gain towards $138 to $140. Entry around $135 on consolidation, stop below $132.
AMD is also on that anticipation list.
Yes, AMD. Support at $105, $102, $100. Resistance $110, $112, $115. May target $110 to $112. Entry near $105 on pullbacks, stop below $100.
And the leveraged semiconductor, ETF, SOXL.
SOXL, with a recovering semi-sector, could see sharp rises. Support at $45, $43, $40. Resistance $50, $53, $55. Could breach $53. Entry near $45, stop below $43.
Great tactical insights. So looking ahead to tomorrow, Tuesday, May 20th, any economic data on tap?
Nope. The U.S. economic data calendar is clear for Tuesday. But we do have some earnings.
Who's reporting?
Pre-market, we'll hear from AutoZone, AZO, Bilibili, Billy, Lowe's, Lowe, that's a big one for retail and housing, Toll Brothers, TOL also, and Home Depot, HD. After the close, we get Keysight, Keys, Palo Alto Networks, PANW, Key for Cybersecurity, and Zoom, ZM.
All right, so a light day-to-day, but some important earnings, especially on the retail and housing front with Lowe's, Toll Brothers, and Home Depot, and then tech with Palo Alto. Any final trader takeaways as we wrap up?
The market continues to show impressive resilience, shrugging off negative headlines like the Moody's downgrade. That buy-the-dip mentality is strong. Keep an eye on those key SPY and QQQ levels, 596 and 524 for resistance, 590 and 518 for support. The AI theme remains incredibly powerful, evident in moves like Sanmina's and the focus on NVIDIA, and that defensive sector rotation is still a factor. It's a market that rewards stock picking and careful attention to individual catalysts.
Excellent summary. Thanks for breaking it all down. That's all the time we have for Next Day Prep. We'll see you next time. Have a great trading day, everyone.